with my co-host Dylan Dolan of Forward Thinking, and the ladies from Paws Pet Planet, that's Michelle and Joanne. They're running a first aid course for dogs on Saturday, based up at the Green Community.
Yeah, it's Dubai Investment Park, yeah, next to the Green Community.
And how long does the course take?
It's a day. It's one afternoon for the course.
So yeah. The timings?
Between 11 and 4.
Okay, okay.
I heard you say, will people come out with a certificate at the end of this?
Yes,
will
they
be
are.
Registered? And what body is that registered with?
It's
you're on the MJ.
Yeah, it's MJ training through the UK, but it's a worldwide recognised qualification, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Fantastic. So you can actually put that on your CV.
You can.
You can.
And you do get a certificate.
You have to do it every 2 years, though, to keep your skills up.
Mm. So we've talked about the CPR. What else is on the course?
You've done some choking?
Yeah, choking, spinal injuries, fractures, cuts, poisoning, just general. Do you know, most of it is actually general safety for the other humans around, more than the dog sometimes.
And so it's about how to deal with the situation, yeah?
Yeah, how not to panic.
Which is key. You know, we've said this a few times already. It is
key. It is, but it's difficult when you've got that emotional attachment to the animal. Is it, you know, exactly. Mm. And I mean, recently, I was in somewhere where there were no cars. There's never any cars. I walk there every day. One Friday morning, 7 a.m., wouldn't expect to see a car. There happened to be a car, and it was going really, really slow. I mean, it's a ridiculous situation. It was going really slowly. I've got my eye on the car. I've got the eye on my dog, and I could see it almost happening in slow motion, and yet still couldn't believe it, because the person who... it was almost like it was a driving lesson. The car was going slowly, and it was in... It's not actually an active road, but it is an old road, if you like. It's where villas have been knocked down. Mm. And I can see the car coming, and I can see the dog on the other side, and the dog sniffing around. And as the car, I didn't know which way it was going to go, it turned the corner, mm-hmm. and I could see it, and I could see the dog, and I'm on the other side, and I, of course, I know the dog's not going to stop, she's going to just come straight towards me. And I looked, and I couldn't believe that they hadn't seen her, but then why should they? Why should they be looking at a dog, particularly if they're not dog aware? Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And I just yelled at the top of my voice. It didn't stop the dog. She's got absolutely mm-hmm. She just carried on. And the car, because it was going so slow, but the car didn't stop either. Mm-hmm. And they clipped the back of her. Mm-hmm. And they carried on. They never stopped or anything. But she was fine. But at that moment, you're like, I could see it happening. Yeah. I knew there wasn't anything
horrid.
I could do. It's
mm-hmm.
awful. Yeah. And she's a really old dog as well. Yeah. So I was like, and it knocked her off her feet. Mm-hmm. She went down, and mm-hmm. I went to her. She got up, shook herself off, and she was fine. I watched her through the day to see if there was any shock or anything, and she was fine.
Very
but, you know,
lucky.
It is lucky.
Very lucky. Yeah.
But it is just an example of how these things can happen like that.
Well, that's it. I mean, a lot of people live in communities and villas that have a lot of kind of people coming in and out, if it's gardeners or, you know, local people delivering anything, and the gates can be left open, and that's all it takes is for the dog to take the opportunity to run out. And then it's kids, everything.
They're going to sniff something, chase a cat, can be anything.
Everything. So it doesn't have to be like a road accident. It can be anything. Literally just running, spooking themselves and turning into, you know, a house that, I mean, might be boarded up properly, getting work done, anything. If something falls on them, crush injuries... It's endless. They're dogs. They get into everything.
They do. And it is a constant sort of adventure, really, I have to say. And another incident was a long time ago, but the same dog, the older one, on a night walk and shaking her head. And I could see something was wrong. And she's she'll go into bins. You know, she's a real greedy dog, actually. And she's beautiful. She's beautiful.
Stunning.
It's not painting a good picture of her. You've met the dogs. Yeah. They are beautiful. But she's actually a lovely dog. But she does like, you know, she will sort of scrounge food. And I was walking along, I could see her shaking her head quite mm-hmm. violently, and mm-hmm. I thought, oh my goodness, what's she eaten? Is it poison? Is it something? And I looked at her, and she carried on, she seemed okay. Then again, she'd stop and just shake her head really quite violently. Got her home, looked at her, opened the mouth, felt in the mouth, and she'd got a chicken bone
stuck
between mm-hmm. in the roof of her mouth.
Yeah,
so
very common.
Stuck
yeah.
between the
it
teeth.
Is common.
I, you know, and as I just got my hand in there and had to literally wedge it out.
Yeah.
get it out. Yeah. But, not easy getting your hand into a dog's mouth, and do
that. And lucky it was just the roof of her mouth and not her throat.
Oh, well, then it would have been.
Because if it had have gone down her throat, then,
And that that she would trust you to allow her to do that.
Yes.
One of my dogs, we'd been walking them, and we'd rescued him. We hadn't had him very long. And, again, turned around. We were in the middle of the desert. He started violently shaking his head. Got close to him, blood all around his mouth, and he'd lacerated his tongue, and his tongue had come away from the base of his mouth. And just real random kind of
incident.
No idea. I think what had happened is something had flown into his mouth. And there were some bees apparently around that area, and I think something had flown into his mouth. He doesn't pick food up. There was no wires around. I checked around for a long time afterwards, couldn't find anything. There was no kind of cuts, as it were, no slices or anything. And I just saw him violently shaking his head, and I think something flown into his mouth.
I think you're right. I think they also being in the desert, sand. I mean, something I come across a lot again. Hence the cut paw is glass, broken glass in the sand,
that kind of thing.
You do seem to wherever I go.
Just unnoticed holes. We had an owner who would come in with his dog and explain she wouldn't be coming for training because in the desert we're running full speed, big 6 foot deep hole out of nowhere, and the dog runs straight into it. And he had to carry her back to the car then.
Big German Shepherd.
Try carry her back to the car, and she'd done some, muscle, spinal injuries, ligament damage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Someone's SMS'd in saying regarding chocolate, our dog ate 1.1 kilogram Quality Street chocolate, and we went to the vet, but he could not get it out. He couldn't get the chocolate out or remove it. But the dog was fine. The Big Dane.
Big dog. So.
Sometimes, I mean, it's not every dog. Some dogs could eat chocolate, but
it's
it
not
wouldn't
advisable.
Affect them. But it's absolutely not advisable.
Obviously, you have to think of the size of the dog, the amount of chocolate, and if dark chocolate as well, more cocoa kind of percentage in it. Then
that's
makes
why they have specific chocolate drops for dogs. That don't contain what they could be allergic to, basically.
So what is it? Is it an allergy then? Is it dogs are allergic to chocolate? What is it about chocolate that's not good for dogs? Do we know?
It's the ingredients in it are just poisonous to them. Yeah. The high toxicity of the chocolate will kill them. Just like raw onions, raw garlic, a lot of raw food. There's a lot. Grapes, anything with seeds inside will do the same.
What happens? Is it some form of allergic reaction?
Can't process it? Like a person being allergic to peanuts and having a peanut.
Yeah, really? Exactly.
Very similar.
Some form of anaphylactic shock then?
Yeah. Wow. You have to be very careful.
Yeah.
Again, the idea of, I don't know what, I mean, this happens everywhere. I've seen this, in the UK, here, people will take a dog, have a dog, and not necessarily understand how to, what an animal is and want to feed it everything that they eat. And sometimes it's just, my grandmother was the worst in that would give the dog what she ate, everything, almost like killing them with kindness in a way, And it's understanding that they are an animal that needs a certain amount of care. Some people would say that this isn't a good place to have a dog because of the climate and because, it's not easy to walk them. There's not many places, public areas that you can take a dog. And what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's very easy to say it's not a great place to have dogs, but we're here. People want dogs. Dogs are part of your family. There are dogs here. You're always going to have dogs here. So
we were saying earlier about the dog show. How many people were at the dog show?
I think about 35,000 people went to the dog show in February.
That's bonkers. 35,000 people going to a dog show in Dubai.
And it just shows you, though. And it's one of the oldest events in Dubai as well.
Yeah, really? 20-something the year.
Yes.
Yeah,
it 24th is.
24th year, maybe, something like that. Yeah.
And I understand what people say when they're saying this isn't the right environment for a dog. I mean, I struggled getting a cat because I thought, well, you can't let the cat run around too much. Thankfully, we've now moved, and she is now not just a house cat. She actually does have, time during the day and in the evening to actually go and patrol and stuff.
Which is very important because if they don't have that, they're not able to express their innate behaviour, basically, what a cat is supposed to be able to do. And that's why a lot of behavioural problems come up as well. If they can't express what they're supposed to do, you get
that's something else you're qualified in, isn't it, Michelle?
Yes,
you're
right,
an animal behaviourist, which I think is fascinating. Someone's asking about injections for dogs. Dogs should be given injections every year. Is this true?
Yes, dogs are, by law, they have to be annually vaccinated for a number of different diseases.
Like rabies and stuff, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, rabies, parvo, leptospirosis. There's a number of different vaccines, but they should have them annually. By law, they need to have them annually.
By law, is that here?
Yes, mm-hmm. It is.
That's
yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The municipalities state that you have to, especially, particularly the rabies vaccine, you have to have them vaccinated, boosted every year, and then you have to have them registered with the municipality. But you can only get them registered once you've obviously got their vaccinations done.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
And someone also, good morning, Habib. He's saying that dogs locked up in studios, this is cruel. Well, I suppose it's understanding this. So, a dog being locked up anywhere for a long period of time is not ideal. What would you recommend is the sort of average time that an animal could be left? So if you are, you know, going to work or, you know, you're thinking I'd quite like to have a dog, but I work. What would you advise on that? What are your thoughts?
Really just depend on the dog. Depends on the dog, what they're used to. Are they puppies? How much exercise are they getting? How much interaction are they getting? Are they home alone? It really, really does depend. And on circumstance, there is always an ideal. But if the dog has, you know, you have to think of quality of life as well. Where has the dog come from? It's very difficult to say, but ideally no more than a few hours at a time.
But when you say a few hours,
4 or 5 hours at a time.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what
they wouldn't
I would
be
say.
Expected to hold their toilets longer than that.
But I think that's okay. Four or 5 hours, mm-hmm. if you plan that somebody's
if they've been
there,
taught how to be left alone acceptably and not just expected to sit there and do nothing and not destroy the house.
Chew toys, and rather than feeding from a food bowl, you put the food in the food toys to keep them occupied. Mm-hmm. Make sure they go out for a long run before you go to work. So lots of things.
It's not that it's cruel to lock them up. I think some people don't have an option. I think you just have to plan and look at the bigger picture. If you can get a dog walker, if you have a friend who doesn't work and walks their dog, can they go get your dog also? If not, there is the likes of daycare, which we offer for a lot of customers who don't want to leave the dog home 10-12 hours. So the dogs come to daycare and stay with us for the day.
And again, that can cause a lot of behavioural problems as well if they're left alone and they start chewing and defecating in the house, which causes a lot of people not to understand why the dog is doing it and then give the dog up.
It's funny, isn't it? Because when you're saying all those different things there, for me it's just like, which it's kind of obvious, you know. There's parts of that you just go, well, surely there's a cause and a response, isn't there?
Did you have a dog growing up? Did you have a pet dog? Have you had a dog before?
No, we our family. My auntie had dogs.
Right.
She had a few dogs, and you know, it was one of
those.
So
you were around dogs as a child.
Yeah, very much so.
And I presume, ladies, you did if you've gone into the profession.
Profession.
No, but I think, you know, that's what it's about, isn't it? Not to say if you've never ever had a dog, you couldn't have one now.
No,
it's
no,
not
really
that.
Not.
But it is about,
it's a massive responsibility.
Exactly. Understanding then,
and
truly,
it's not to be taken lightly.
Totally
it's
agree.
You could have a dog for 10+ years. And you're also getting a dog effectively is, you know, a small child in a fur coat, basically, with no communication skills that we understand. They have communication skills very well together, but not for a human dog contact. They have, you know, the mental capability of a 2 to 3 year old child. So would you leave your 2 or 3 year old home all day alone and expect them not to get up to mischief?
You've just described my dog. The younger one.
He is
daft as
Shakespeare.
Yeah, Shakespeare.
Yeah.
He doesn't live up to his name, I have to say.
He hasn't written any
something
plays
to aspire
yet.
To, at least.
Well, they don't really know, and that's another thing which can be extremely frustrating. They don't have any materialistic values, and they don't purposely choose your favourite chew or anything like that.
Yeah.
In their world, it's all chewable, and that's all that's important. If they don't have something else to chew, they're going to chew it.
And if you understand your dog and if you have that love for animals, you know, it's the best thing. It's one of the best things to have that relationship with an animal that follows your family through its life, its natural life, hopefully. It's a great experience. It's great for kids as well to be a part and witness, you know, experience animals. It teaches kids a lot. I can remember as a kid what it taught me, you know, looking after something, understanding pain and care and love.
Responsibility, empathy.
Absolutely right. Yeah, lots of SMS is coming in. We'll get to those in just a moment, and we'll find out what else happens at Paul's Pet Planet.